special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
Let me get on in here. We are back here on the Go Long Media channel on Blog Talk Radio. This is the Boxing Source Radio Show. I am your host, James Bell, lead boxing analyst for the Cohort Truth on Sports. And also, have the boxing articles on DCHTOnSports.com and post videos on social media, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Number to dial the talk boxing is 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. Press 1 key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. Back after a temporary hiatus, wasn't able to get in last week. That last Saturday, you had the light heavyweight title fight between Adonis Stevenson and Andre Fonfara, rematch, a voluntary defense for Adonis Stevenson. That was, basically a fight that, not very many people were, very interested in. They kind of knew that Adonis Stevenson would pretty much get the win there, and he pretty much blew away Andre Fonfara that last week, so we didn't really, get in depth on that last week, so pretty much skipped doing a podcast during that week. So we'll move forward into this week. There really isn't, really wasn't that many notable events this weekend. We're pretty much looking forward to what's happening next week, as you have the light heavyweight championship rematch between Sergey Kovalev and Andre Ward. That will be in Las Vegas, at the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino this time around. The last fight was in Las Vegas, but they put it in the T-Mobile Arena, pretty much a bigger venue. But this one will be in the Mandalay Bay Hotels Arena. I think that's a little bit smaller than what they have over at T-Mobile Arena. This one here, you're pretty much going to see what we're going to get out of both fighters. Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev had a, fairly good fight between the two in the first fight in November last year. But, after the fairly good start by Sergey Kovalev in that first fight, it looked like he ended up fading away in the later rounds. And that's how Andre Ward was able to come back and get the decision win over Sergey Kovalev to win those title belts. So, here in this fight, looks like, Sergey Kovalev will have to make a good amount of adjustments in order to get the upper hand here against Andre Ward. You know, back in that first fight, you know, in the overall review of the last fight, you know, the first reactions of that fight, few things that I was pretty surprised about for that fight was that, you know, Sergey Kovalev couldn't fight on the inside against Andre Ward. Looked like Ward was, you know, able to have his own way on the inside. He was able to, you know, rough things up a little bit. And he was able to, in some cases, push Sergey Kovalev around. And to me, that was one of the most surprising things about the first fight is that, I mean, coming into that first fight, I thought that, you know, Sergey Kovalev was going to be the one that, you know, kind of, you know, showed that he was the bigger person in that fight. But he didn't look like he was going to do that. He wanted to go in there and outbox Andre Ward, which, you know, it looked like it was going to be good at first, but Andre Ward is, of course, the better boxer between the two. It was only that, you know, Ward just wanted to fight on the outside with a guy that had like a longer reach and a fairly underrated jab, in my opinion. But once he was able to, you know, get to the inside of Sergey Kovalev, he was able to, you know, get good body punches in. He was able to tie up Sergey Kovalev so Kovalev wouldn't be able to get off, and ended up tiring Kovalev in that first fight. And so that proved to be the difference in fight number one. Now, going into fight number two, it's looking like we got to see what Sergey Kovalev is going to be able to do to make adjustments because, I mean, from what I've heard, it's like a lot of people that, you know, analyze Andre Ward say that, you know, he's, you know, fought, you know, these different fighters over the course of his career. He's fought the, you know, the Carl Frotches, he's fought the Arthur Abrahams, he's fought, you know, the Alan Greens, Mikkel Kesslers, you know, those type of guys, Chad Dawson, various different types of fighters, you know, over the, you know, last 6 years or so, to where he's been able to make adjustments in order to end up with the victory, while, you know, Sergey Kovalev, on the flip side, hasn't fought somebody at the skill level of Andre Ward. And with that being known, it's like, well, instead of, you know, trying to figure out how he could do something to nullify the effectiveness of Andre Ward, he's, you know, kind of saying that, hey, he didn't, you know, train as hard, he didn't run as long, he didn't, you know, have this with the trainer or have that or whatever it is. And it's just, you know, something where Sergey Kovalev may have to do things or probably respond to the inside fighting of Andre Ward by doing some of that himself, trying to rough things up, try to, you know, tie up Andre Ward, you know, not let him get off, not let him, you know, move around the ring, give him different looks out there in order to get this win. You know, from what I've read, you know, so far the past couple of weeks, it's looking like this particular fight here will be the last one. They say that it's not looking like a rematch is in store for whoever wins this Ward Kovalev fight. And I think that's kind of interesting there, especially, you know, with it being you know, Kovalev wins, you know, because you would think that there would be some type of rubber match between the two if Kovalev ends up being the winner in this fight. But, you know, as of this there was like an article in Boxing Scene back in April that's saying that within this you know, for this second fight, there's no rematch clause. So it's going to be something there that if Andre Ward ends up winning this fight, then that'll be basically it for Sergey Kovalev as far as, like, getting, you know, back into fighting for those titles that Andre Ward currently holds. So that's going to be determining factor, I think, with this fight here in general and how Sergey Kovalev approaches the fight. I think that, you know, he had, like, a lot of momentum going into the first fight with Andre Ward. However, as the fight, you know, got closer, it didn't look like he was as confident as he would be, you know, against other fighters that he's faced. And that's something because, I mean, he, you know, of course, he has that nickname Crusher Kovalev. You know, he's knocked out, you know, a few notable fighters over the course of his career. You know, he was able to, you know, unify the titles against Bernard Hopkins and, you know, really nullify Hopkins to where he couldn't really do much of anything without risk of being, you know, knocked out. So, you know, him, you know, going towards that first fight and then ended up losing to Andre Ward, especially the way he did, kind of like put something into his overall psyche and how he's, you know, viewed in public relations as far as like his presence in the ring is concerned, is, you know, as a, you know, kind of like bring up, you know, guys that are quote unquote the most feared guys in boxing. Sergey Kovalev, you know, probably came up in a few people's lists as one of those guys, you know, going up to that fight against Andre Ward. But I think, you know, kind of like, you know, when it was getting closer to that fight, it kind of like seemed like it wasn't as convincing. A lot of people were, you know, kind of, you know, skeptical about him, you know, when he had that fight against Isaac Chalemba in July of last year. I mean, it was like a unanimous decision, but it wasn't like something where he was able to, you know, blow away Chalemba like he, you know, did against the likes of Najim Mohammadi and the two fights against Jean Pascal. So, I mean, that right there kind of like, you know, brings an approach here to this, you know, this Andre Ward fight, and where, you know, now Andre Ward looks like he's, you know, more of a favorite here in his second fight against Sergey Kovalev than he was in the first fight. You know, this particular fight card that's going to be at the Mandalay Bay Hotel will be on HBO pay-per-view, pretty much promoted by Main Events and Roc Nation Sports. Main Events basically got the got most of these matchups in this fight card put together. As an example, another guy that's within Roc Nation Sports along with Andre Ward is going to be in this card and is the co-feature as Guillermo Rigondeaux defends the WBA Super Bantamweight Championship against Moises Flores, who is the IBO Super Bantamweight Champion. And, you know, that will be the co-feature. Both fighters are going in there undefeated. Of course, Guillermo Rigondeaux 17-0, and Moises Flores 25-0. Hopefully, you know, this is not one of those cases where Guillermo Rigondeaux has one fight, you know, per year, as he only fought once last year and he only fought once in 2015. You know, it's like I've said, his availability has been very scarce since, you know, his time with Bob Arum. So that's going to be interesting to see if Rigo is going to be able to, you know, get back in the fighting scene here in a bit. We got a caller in here, Erico 850. What's going on?
Well, how you doing, cousin? A long time no hear from Mr. Bell.
Yo, what's What's good, fam?
I don't know. Y'all right, cuz? I was just checking on you. I see you on the Facebook. But y'all talking about boxing, cuz, and you know that's my sport.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, that's what I be doing, like, you know, each week up in here, man. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that war, Kovalev. You looking forward to that fight?
But why, bro? I mean, I think war, to be honest, bro, the heavyweight division kind of watered down. Because, I mean, you got Ward, and then you got who else? I mean, Klitschko, he out of there. I mean, everybody in the heavyweight division is just like, okay, you expect the next big thing, and nobody has come along. I mean, Ward shocked the world when he beat Klitschko. He shocked the world. Because, I mean, look how long Klitschko has been. What? Almost, what, 10, 11 years?
Nah, that was Anthony Joshua that got Klitschko. Andre Ward is in the light heavyweight division.
Oh, he's in the light heavyweight division. Oh, I want to see fighting that light heavyweight division in Triple G.
Yeah, but Triple G don't want to move up to the light heavyweight division though.
Yeah, but
he trying to get that money against you know, Canelo. That's gonna be on September. He trying to get that Canelo fight.
Yeah, but see, I mean that's gonna be a small fight for Triple G. But at the same time, like I said, a lot of these fighters, man, they really water down. Triple G, he a bad boy. He the next Floyd Mayweather. Him and the boy, but he can't stay out of trouble. I forget the boy name. What the boy name? Pose the fault on Mayweather. He say Mayweather like his brother. What's his name? The young
Errol
black
Spence.
Boy. Huh?
Errol Spence?
No. He just knocked out somebody. He was signed to Maybach Music or something, doing a rap album.
Oh, not Adrian Broner.
Yeah, Broner. Yeah.
Well, actually, Broner, he's about to fight this dude Mikey Garcia, and a lot of people are saying that Mikey Garcia may beat him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they believe it. They ain't never seen boxing. Adrian Broner might be one of the most complete boxers in the boxing thing if he can stay focused. Well, Adrian Broner got a lot of stuff going on outside the ring. That's why he can't stay focused.
Yeah, but that's the thing, man. He got to be able to get out of all that, man, because Broner, it's like easy for him to. It's almost like easy for him to get in trouble outside the ring, man.
Yeah,
he got to stop all that.
I think he want to be a thug too bad. That's what I think. Anybody?
You think
he
want to
like
be what?
A thug too bad. Like you know how people be vying to have street credibility. I think he want to be a thug too bad. If he could just focus on being a fighter and not want to be a thug. He'd be a top five boxer in his weight division easily, because it's no. I mean, like I told the world, man, and I tell everybody this: after Mayweather left boxing pretty much. I mean, I like it, but it's so watered down, man, because it's just like you can only name what 3-4 boxers that's even worth paying your money for. That whole good. As a whole, a good boxing match.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying, like, it's so crazy with boxing because, okay, like, you pump up this fight like they pumped up that Camacho Jr. and that other fight. And that dude beat Camacho Jr. He almost killed him in the ring.
Yeah.
It was Camacho Jr. or Chavez Jr. One of them juniors.
Chavez Jr.
Yeah, I came to the ring, all chested in. I'm like, boy, we got to fight. Man, that dude almost killed that boy, man.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with the, you know, pay-per-view setup is not really, you know, there anymore with Mayweather gone. So it's like they might as well just quit all that.
Like I said, the only fight I'm looking forward to, and that's if he signs the dotted line, because I want to see him get beat to damn death, is what the boy name, Conor McGregor. That's the only fight I would pay money to see.
Yeah. We're probably going to see that soon. It's just a matter of, like, you know, how they're going to work things out. So we're going to see how that's going to work out. I'm going to get somebody else on the line here real quick. Hold on. Area code 205, what's up with you?
What's going on, James? It's Mike Grady, man. How you doing?
Doing good here, Mike. Yeah, you know, we just giving a little chat here on the boxing scene. I mean, we got the Ward Kovalev fight coming up next weekend. You know, nothing really went down this weekend. And, of course, we had Adonis Stevenson blow away Andre from far last weekend. So I ain't really, you know, do a show last week because there really wasn't much to talk about in that fight. So I'm just looking forward to this rematch here between Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. I'm looking forward to it as well. You're right with the Fanfara fight. It was over before it began. And Berger Hunter kind of saved him from himself. He seemed like he was gun-shy, sort of. And I don't know. It was just it was like he kept throwing his hand, and it seemed like he could have threw that mug, like, off to the left, and still would have hit Fanfara. You know, that's how he was just throwing his hand. But I think they stopped the fight because, you know, it could get brutal in there, man. As far as the Kovalev and Ward fight, I think it will be a very similar fight. You know, I think Kovalev should come out strong. His jab should be pumping, you know, the first couple rounds, and then Ward will probably be cautious of the right hand. So, you know, he ain't going to be able to come in as much. So Kovalev will win the earlier rounds, and then Ward will consistently go to the body and maybe two or three rounds.
Mm-hmm.
By the fourth round or so, he should be able to get in and take the power, so to say. You know, he should be able to be willing to get in there and take the power because by that time, the steam will have semi-worn off. I mean, we won't fully have worn off, and then – you know, the body work that he's doing in the first couple rounds will pay dividends. And I think it will be the same type of fight. But I do feel weary, though, if it's the same sort of type of fight, will they try to give it to Kovalev to make it go to another fight? Because if he wins again, then they definitely not fighting again. But, with that being said, I think they'll probably make it a draw this time. They'll probably definitely make it a draw.
Well, or draw or something like that. But, like, you know, a couple of minutes ago, I mentioned that, you know, as of, you know, last month, they really haven't said that there's going to be a rematch for this fight. They said it's going to be two and then that's done.
Oh, yeah? You think they're going to split it one and one then?
Yeah,
what,
I mean,
was a draw?
I don't know.
Did Kovalev win the first fight?
Now Ward did.
Well, Ward probably will whoop him again. I hate rematches, man, because rematches is like, okay, I can basically focus on the person's weaknesses and go to that, but a lucky punch in a rematch can get you knocked out. That's why I hate rematches. Pro se, Tony Otava, Roy Jones, you know what I'm saying? Roy Jones was never supposed to go in there in that bad of a shape, just overpumped, like, hey, I can beat this guy. And he got knocked out. You know what I'm saying? Then that's probably how Ward would feel now. Hey, I done beat him once. I beat him again. And he'd go in there and Kovalev and knock him out. You know what I'm saying? Just pro se of high confidence, not prepared for this fight.
Yeah, that could be an approach there by Andre Ward. I think, you know, coming up to this fight, I think Andre Ward is, you know, fairly confident that he could, you know, really, I mean, he already beat Kovalev once before, so he's going to be overly confident that he can beat him again. And, you know, when you do that, you kind of, like, leave yourself open. And in the first fight, Yeah, in the first fight, you know, early in that fight, Ward kind of like left himself open a couple of times early before he got knocked down in that counterpunch, you know, in that second round. So, I mean, with Kovalev, he's still a dangerous fighter, you know. So if he gets something to where he's able to knock down or, you know, knock out Ward, then, you know, that could be it for Andre there. And Kovalev will have the belts and there won't be no rematch for it, you know.
Well, I think that's a likely situation. Like, anything can happen, but I think it's unlikely. I don't think Ward is stupid. Ward know that the dude got a lot of power. Ward know that the dude hurt him in the second round. So he's going to be cautious like he was last time. I mean, even with the punch that he knocked him down with, Ward was counting. Like, Kovalev threw a 1-2. And after one, Ward was countering the one, and then the two met Ward before Ward could counter the punch that Kovalev threw, because he threw a 1-2. And so it wasn't necessarily like a mistake Ward made to say. It's just, you know, if you do that and you throw a two, then, like, the two going to always get there before you make your counter. But I think Ward ain't stupid. He's going to fight cautiously and then, you know, get it to the deeper rounds to where – the power subsides and, you know, a similar point, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's true, because sooner or later that power will run out. Sooner or later you get tired, you get winded, and I just sit back in the corner and I just wait on you. Oh, he's tired. Then I just work you. Like man, say you, once you start working that body, man, it's pretty much a wrap. You know what I'm saying? You got to hope for, like they said, pro se, a lucky punch. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these fights are won with lucky punches. It ain't the best fight to win. It's a lucky, I mean, you win it, fifth, sixth round, seven, eight rounds, you win it, and then here comes this lucky punch. I don't know where you sweep.
Yeah, body work kind of like, you know, hurts you in the long run because you get tired one and then your defense slips. So, you know, you once you get hit in the body, you kind of like trying to stay away from getting hit in the body again, and then you leave yourself open. But, I mean, I think that, you know, in that first fight, Kovalev kind of got tired himself because he got worked in the body. And then Ward was able to score, you know, up top. But Ward's gonna have to look out for that, you know, here in this next fight. The only thing is that I'm not very confident in what Kovalev can do as far as like adjustments are concerned. And, you know, one of the biggest criticisms of that first fight was the trainer for Sergey Kovalev, John David Jackson. Whether it was, you know, coming from, you know, outside of the ring or coming from Kovalev himself. Hey, Grady, what do you think about if Jackson's going to be able to, you know, see something within Andre Ward in this first fight that he could exploit in this next fight?
So I think John David Jackson, from what it appears, his role ain't going to be like, yeah, he worked with the pad, but I think the hole's going to come from Kovalev's other coaches. But I feel like Kovalev, the adjustment that he might make is that instead of him, I think he might go like the whole burnout approach, like try to
kill him early.
To take him out early, try to take so much out of Ward, which will leave him sort of like the heavyweight fight where he go all out sort of, and then Ward kind of sustains. But he'll take Ward to the brink from trying to go all out, and then Ward will, like, overcome the storm and then kind of, so to say, win easy.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that scenario happen where it's like Kovalev just go all out and try to knock him out, and then he just burned himself out.
Yeah, man. That's but like you said, brother, that's the funny thing about boxing, man. You can go in there with so much good intention, and man, if you run into the right boxer on the right night, a fight you're supposed to win, you will lose. That's what's so funny about boxing. Boxing is more crazier than any organized sport. Because boxing, man, you can get knocked out by nobody. And with them knowing each other, that makes the match even worse. Because they're going to try to focus on, of course, they're going to be watching tape, and they're going to try to focus on, hey, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And that's the wrong approach. Wrong approach in my intuition of fighting, period. Focusing on what you're doing wrong, you going up like it's a new opponent, man. I don't know what I did wrong, and you just fight a good boxing match and make the best man win. But like I said, I think Martin might knock him out, man, because the simple fact he going in with, hey, I can beat this guy, and if he trains, He probably will win again, James. He probably will win again.
That's something there that I'm like looking forward to is like what's going to happen here with these adjustments. I mean, yeah, it's like unpredictable. Like you were saying, bringing up that second Roy Jones Antonio Tarver fight. So that's something that Andre Ward has to watch out for with his openings. You got that thing in the undercard there with Guillermo Rigondeaux defending the title with Moises Flores. He's supposed to be like one of the best guys out there pound for pound, but he can't get a fight with nobody, hardly, or at least he just fights like once a year. So, Mike Grady, what do you think about like what's going to happen here with Rigondeaux, first with his fight against Moises Flores? And then I guess in the near future there, or if he has to, like, step away from Roc Nation in order to get some better fights.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with the fighting, but, I mean, I'm always stirring into when I see Rigondeaux fight. I like watching his technical prowess. He's definitely knows how to move. I think he's going to move very clearly. Like he'd be sort of dancing. When he'd be like moving, and then he'd like keep his pivot, and he'll like move in and out. Like it just looks very fluid. Like it reminds me of watching maybe Floyd fight against what's the Hall of Fame person? Mexican.
You talking about Camacho? He talking about when Roy fought what the boy name is? They was comparing Roy fight and the dude fight who everybody was so high was gonna beat Roy. Him and Pacquiao fought the boy. I know who you talking about, man. What's this dude's name, man?
Marquez. So it reminds me of Floyd fight with said, like, how fluidly he'd be moving. Because Floyd looked pretty invincible in that fight. I mean, just like he was like, I don't know, the other dude moving in slow motion. And usually when I see Rigondeaux fight, it's like the other person be moving in slow motion.
Run, make it. I mean, Floyd make everybody look like they're moving in slow motion.
Yeah, but, I mean, if he keeps fighting, that's his going end, because
I'm gonna tell you something though, man. Believe it or not, and y'all might say no, Floyd could easily have 10 more fights. He don't take a beat. That's the whole thing that people can't figure out about Floyd. Floyd is the only boxer to this day that doesn't take a beat. He doesn't take a beat. If you hit him, it's like a brush off hit because he's so quick. I would have loved to see Floyd in his prime and Roy Jones have a fight. That would have been box office, though. That would have been box office. Because Roy in his prime.
Roy was like the offensive equivalent of what, Floyd was.
Right.
Because Roy can basically get you in any direction, But, you know, once his reflexes went, though, that's when he started slipping.
See, Roy thing, and I still believe it to this day, Roy thought he was bigger than the boxing world, and he thought he really didn't have to train. And anytime you get like that, man, you become a myth in the ring, and you go to the ring, and it's just, I mean, like, people on the outside looking in be like, hey, man, is he even ready to box? You know what I'm saying? You go there, you two, maybe 3 pounds overweight or underweight, what you're supposed to be. I look for all that when I'm boxing, when people boxing, man, because all that play a factor. Because, I mean, you get in the boxing ring, man, a person hits you, and it's over. I mean, it's just like lights out. And I've been disappointed in a lot of this new boxing. I mean, like that last heavyweight bout with what we was talking about, James.
Klitschko,
I mean,
and Joshua.
Yeah, it was like you could tell Klitschko just was like done with boxing. You could really tell. I mean, he came to fight, don't get me wrong, but you could tell he was done with boxing. Like, you could really tell, like, that was going to be his last fight.
I don't necessarily think it's going to be his last fight, because, I mean, he lost the fight in a terrible fashion, but, I mean, it was a fight, though. I mean, had he had just a little bit more, had he not had 40-year-old legs, he could have pressed the action a lot more than what he could. But, I mean, I don't think he's done, though. I think he...
And see, that's why I say Mayweather could easily fight 10 more fights, because you got to fight. Mayweather is the only boxer to date that make you fight at his pace. You're not going to go in there and change Mayweather's game plan. See, and that's the advantage that Mayweather has over any boxer that he ever faced. Mayweather probably would be the only person, even in virtual reality, would have whooped Muhammad Ali ass. He would have whooped his ass, because the simple fact of the matter is Muhammad Ali specialized in making you fight his fight. Mayweather, you going to fight Mayweather fight. You going to go in there, you're going to throw 1,000 punches, you're not going to hit him, you're going to get frustrated, and he's going to get right on your rump. He's going to get right. That's how he beat Pacquiao. Everybody wants to say, oh, the man had a messed up rotator cuff. Oh, he was this, he was that. Well, it looked easy when you doing these performance enhancement drugs and all this type of stuff, and you're fighting people lesser than you who come to the fight intimidated. See, Mayweather came to the fight knowing, like, man, I'm going to whoop him. He don't even see it coming. I'm going to whoop him. And he whooped him. That's what's scary about Mayweather. That's what's so scary about Mayweather. He's just like a perfectionist. He studied boxing like no other. I watch that fight all the time. And if you just watch some of the moves and some of the things he was doing, the only boxer that even would have gave him a run for his money is Roy, and that's because Roy fights unorthodox style like nobody else. Like, you really had to be prepared for Roy when he was boxing.
So I agree with a lot of what you're saying. The only thing that I probably would wait from is that him fighting 10 more fights. So in 10 more fights, he only getting older. And so while he definitely is, you know, a physically superior than even the young guys today, what's going to start happening, which is the same thing that happened with Roy Jones, is that his body ain't going to strong. Like, the speed that he can generate ain't going to be able to be the same speed that he generated when he was younger. And so he's still like slowing down. Then these young, hungry lions going to start, you know, being able to run with him.
But
that's the only thing. That's why he can't have 10 fights, because at some point, his body ain't going to be able to perform the way he is now. He made, like,
I understand what you're saying. I understand you're saying, okay, we both, all of us agree that Father Time is undefeated. But see, the thing that separates Mayweather from a lot of boxers, and you'll never see a boxer like him again, is the simple fact that Mayweather is a smarter boxer. And what I mean by that is, a lot of people box because it's tradition and, oh, this is what this going to be, and, oh, I want to fight. And they jump in it for all the wrong reasons. Mayweather went to boxing because, hey, I know how to fight, and this going to feed my family for the rest of my life. And he goes into every fight like he's starving. Like, if hey, if you're going to beat me up like this, or you're going to try to beat me up like this, I want top purse. And I'm all embarrassed. And that's why I can't do nothing but respect, like, what he do, what he's doing for the boxing world, as far as bringing up younger boxers, showing them the ropes of how not to get hit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's critiqued about Mayweather that a lot of people don't understand. And a lot of people hate that. Like, boxing is who get hit the least, not who get hit the most. Like, and Mayweather has perfected that. He's the defensive king.
Yep.
When the books are closed, they're gonna say, who the best defense you ever seen? Everybody's gonna say, hands down, Floyd Mayweather Jr. They're gonna say it hands down. It's never gonna be an argument about that. I mean, you got to think, Pacquiao threw over 400 punches. He didn't even land a half of them. He didn't even land a half of them. And it's like, who can beat this guy? Nobody.
And one of the other things is, like, real quick, talking about Mayweather, one of the other things that, you know, separates him from everybody else is that a lot of, like, pretty much every fighter, when they are about to get into a fight, they have to go down in weight in order to make the weight for the fight that they have to do. Floyd Mayweather usually stays around that same weight, 24/7, 365. So he don't have to, you know, he don't have to worry about all that. He don't have to go down, you know, 10 to 15 pounds, you know, before a fight. He don't have to worry about that. So he can just worry about sharpening his skills in the ring instead of, you know, having to change his diet or, you know, run a little bit more, or, you know, all that. So that's one thing that
Because you said a million-dollar thing then. That's why I say the only boxer that would have gave him a run for his money, and it would have went a whole 12 rounds and half would have been saying, hey, he should have won half, probably would have been saying, was Roy. Because Roy is like the only boxer to win a belt in every weight class he ever fought in. And Roy came to the boxing ring prepared. Roy didn't come there like a slouch when he was boxing. See, you got a lot of people like Broner could be a great fighter, but he's not boxing. See, that's the whole thing. You fighting, you ain't boxing. Fighting mean, okay, I go to the club tonight, I got to fight tomorrow. Mayweather, the difference with Mayweather is, Mayweather's a boxer. Mayweather's whole life revolves around, look, I got this big fight coming up in September. Here it is, September last year. I'm finna train a whole year at this weight. When he can get on the scale, he might weigh lesser than the weight that he posed with. But he done trained the whole year. So you can't do nothing with him. Like, you originally weighed this weight, but I done trained in this weight. So really, I'm better than you at your own weight. That's the crazy thing about this, that boxing thing, man. And that's why I say you got to be careful on, I don't know if y'all gamble, on this fight that you're talking about, James, because that dude can go in there with so much high confidence saying, hey, I beat this guy. And then the second round, he can be on his back. He can be on his back. Fight over.
Yep, that's the unpredictability about the sport right there.
Yeah. He could be on his back, and it's crazy because it's just like you spend however much you spend, or whoever house you went over to see it, or however you may do it, and you watch a fight, that wasn't even worth watching. That's what does it for me. I'd be like, man, ain't none of these boxes even worth watching no more. I mean, Triple G is like the only boxer that I would like actually pay money to watch.
There are a lot more boxes that are worthy to be paid to see.
But speaking of Adrian Broner, that was like the next topic I was gonna bring up, because I mean, we got these fights that are coming through over the summer, and that one there on July 29th between Adrian Broner and Mikey Garcia is gonna be a big one there, and pretty much just finding out that it's going to be at the Barclays Center on July 29th. So I'm gonna probably see if I can get on in with get to that fight, because they got that fight on there, and they got Jared Herd going up against Lawson Trout for the IBF Super Welterweight title in there. But, yeah, Adrian Broner, I mean, this is, like, yet another fight where he's going to have to, be able to be at the top of his game. I mean, they tried to, feed him Sean Porter a couple years ago. And, while he did lose that fight, it wasn't like he was, battered and bruised in that particular fight. But, here he's going up against somebody, that has, like, a lot of skills. So, that's going to be, to me, that's a toss-up fight.
Okay. I'm going to put it to you like this. With the last fight that Broner lost, where was it? The last fight that he lost, was it in Vegas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you notice this about Broner, every time he fights on a big stage where there's a lot of party/club scenes on, he is sluggish. But if you notice when he fights, let's just say somewhere weird, he wins. And he wins in great fashion. Adrian Broner said out of his own mouth he was out of shape for that fight that he lost. He out of his own mouth he said he wasn't prepared, he was out of shape. But mind you, if he's focused, it's gonna be a good show, because Adrian Broner came out nationally and said he wanna fight Mayweather. He said he wanted to fight Mayweather. Not that he was gonna win, but he said he wanted to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good funny fight, but I mean, because I just don't think Adrian. I think he's talented, but I think he gives himself too much credit. And what I mean by that is, bro, you ain't Floyd Mayweather caliber. I mean, you know it. I mean, like the guy, what the guy's name is. That knocked out that whooped Pacquiao. What that guy?
Okay.
Huh?
Marquez.
Okay, you see what Mayweather did to him? He embarrassed him.
Yeah.
Crazy, but, and it's crazy that's what I'm saying. Like, the only boxer, and bro, I would like to see some of these boxers that you say worth paying money for. Because, bro, when they line it up, and they line it up, somebody even on their level of competition, they seem mediocre, bro. They, like, really seem mediocre.
Well, like, you got to take a, Errol Spence?
Errol Spence. What he fight, middleweight?
Yeah. Welterweight.
I think I found wrong. Welterweight.
Yeah.
Welterweight,
he just like beat Kell Brook. Yeah, that's what Floyd was at.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta check him out, man. He he's supposed to be the next guy after Floyd Mayweather.
I'm telling you who next up, man. Broner, man. If he can get a team around him, man, that'll make him focus, man. Broner, man, y'all missing it, bro. Broner's a beast, man. Y'all missing it. I don't know what
here's
y'all
the thing,
missing.
Nah, man. I'm gonna say something about Adrian Broner. Like all the stuff that you said about him being you know, in like places like Vegas or whatever like that, and he's not, you know, the same fighter or whatever it is. I kind of understand that because, you know, there's been, you know, times where he hasn't had a fight, but he's hung around Vegas and he still gets himself in trouble. So, but the thing about it is that he's been in Vegas like a lot, and he's also like, you know, trained in Mayweather's boxing gym, right? So he's gone, you know, up against some of the guys that have, you know, the who's who in boxing within Mayweather's boxing gym, and, you know, sparred against him and whatnot. And so he's supposed to have the talent to basically beat everybody that's out there, but he's just, it's just something where he's just not using his complete abilities, you know.
Right.
But even with that, there's still, like I said, when I say Errol Spence, like he's, like his nickname is The Truth, and they call him The Truth for a reason. So here with Adrian Broner, I just got to see what he's going to be able to do here against Mikey Garcia, because it's like a lot of people are saying, like, this particular fight here is his last shot to try to get back into those big fights,
the
being that high profile guy, you know.
And believe
so
me,
that's
you,
the thing
just like we talk
at.
About it, he know about it, and if he blow it, like I say, it's on him. But I don't trust it in Vegas, man. And see, I think the Boston promoters, man, I think they know that's like one of Broner's weaknesses. I bet if you check the odds on that fight when that fight get close, that boy would be a high favorite over Broner. He would be, like, I'm talking about, like, unrealistic odds over Broner. And you'd be like, what? Because they know, like, hey, Broner's a good fighter, but Vegas is his antidote. You know what I'm saying? Vegas is his weakness. Vegas is his, because, bro, he has what we gonna call a childish mind. Like, he goes into a fight thinking he's Floyd, and he get knocked out like he busted Douglas. You know what I'm saying? And the funny thing about all that, it draws into the fact of how serious are you about your craft? And a lot of times, Roman don't look serious, man. He don't look serious. He only looked serious maybe like, I'm trying to think, maybe like what that fight was when he broke his hand. I
thought he broke his hand against May Donner when he lost that fight, but there was like another one, I guess, DeMarco, but that was like a while ago.
And he came to fight that fight. But with that fight, and I can only take a man's word for it, he said, man, I was out of shape. I wasn't focused. He was thinking about the case. Hey, all three things in reality that you could have controlled. In reality.
You know, I think that's one of the last fights where he fought against quality competition, where he actually went into the fight trying to win the fight. Like, if he was out of shape, what'd you do? But he, to me, even though he got knocked down in the fight, he never stopped trying to win the fight. And that let me respect him. But in the Sean Porter fight, I don't think he had a chance to win. And who else he fought that he lost against?
No, those were his two losses.
Okay, those are his two. Okay, well, Sean Porter fight. I think Sean Porter style, man, he just, whether he was in Vegas or wherever he was at, he still
lost. You know, that's why him and Mayweather fell out a little bit about that Sean Porter fight. Because Mayweather felt like Broner should have won the Sean Porter fight. He felt like Broner didn't prepare himself enough. Because if I ain't mistaken, Mayweather had told him, like, listen, you out here playing, and this dude gonna beat you. You know what I'm saying? And I think Mayweather had a press conference like right before that, and was saying like, hey, Broner's gonna win this fight.
Yeah, but it ain't Broner. If what's his name throw 60 punches and Broner only throw 30, then off of that alone, he's going to win the fight.
But the thing about it is, coming into that fight, like, people thought that Broner has that ability where he could be one of the best fighters out there.
Bro, the man is like the most versatile ring assassin. Broner, next fight, bro, I don't care where you at. I just want you to dissect it. And what I mean by dissect it, just see what you think he could improve on. And the only thing you're going to say is what Mayweather's saying, his stamina. Bro, he has horrible stamina because he likes the club. He likes the hangout. He likes the lifestyle that boxing brings. He's not focused. And if you go in them fights not focused, man, you see what's going to happen. You're going to come out there with an L on a fight you're supposed to win.
So, yep. So another thing that the reason why he loses against the bigger fighters, so Broner used to throw a lot more punches at the smaller weight classes, and his punches used to be thrown like with intent too. Like now he don't throw as many punches. He be too much in the shell, and he'll never win because Floyd, yeah, he does that, but you don't hit Floyd. You know, it's like you know, it's but like, Broner get hit. Broner get hit 3, 4, 5 times, and then he's still in the shell. Floyd, like, don't get hit, and then he hit you. He don't get hit, then he hit you. Broner, like, let you, like, pop, 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 then he throw one punch. It'll never work. Bro. He'll never, against the best fighters, he'll never win against them because he don't throw enough punches.
So what you think about Triple G, bro?
I think if Triple G fight against a better competition fighter, who ain't afraid to throw punches and will throw punches, he's going to lose.
Man, Triple G is true. He's true.
I
like that boy, man. Until I really started paying attention to Mayweather, I really never liked no other fighter other than Roy Jones. I knew Tyson was pretty much overrated. I knew it. But as far as all the way around boxer, Triple G, he's going to show you something, man. And what I mean by that is he ain't scared to get hit. His defense is A1 when it comes time to count the money. And he will knock you down. He's something special, man. I don't know where they found him but he's something special.
I have to see, because I mean he came into the pro game late, as far as like his age is concerned. So he's up there in age, and he has that fight, you know, upcoming against Canelo. But to me, I think he's slowing down. Especially he looked like that against Daniel Jacobs, and I thought Daniel Jacobs showed out on him. But we're gonna see what he's gonna be able to do here against Canelo. To see if he's still on the top of his game or not.
I think Triple G is the same thing that happened to Broner. Broner looks great or decent against lower competition, but when he fights A-level competition, they make Broner very beatable. And so I feel like when Triple G actually starts to fight A-level competition, he's going to continue to look far more beatable, like the other fighter. The only fighter that doesn't happen to him, as my boy said, so maybe because he fight A level competition and people, you know, look pretty invincible.
Yeah, but see, the thing about Mayweather that a lot of people don't understand, bro, it's like, bro, the man comes to the ring he comes to the ring with a poker face. It's like, bro, you don't know. See, that's the thing about Mayweather. You can watch all the tape you want to watch on it, all the tape. Bro, it's different every time. It's different. If you're a left-hand fighter, he's going to stay to your left. If you're a right-handed fighter, he's going to stay to your right. Then all of a sudden, he'll switch it up. Like Pacquiao. He stayed to Pacquiao and left the whole fight. And Pacquiao's a left-handed fighter. I was like, man, but what you doing? You trying to get left out? He tricked me. And what's crazy about the Mayweather camp is the only person that's even worth talking about is Broner, because Broner's supposed to be next up. But he can't stay focused, man. That's my whole, like, gripe, Broner. That's my whole gripe. Broner is supposed to be, like, the next big talk, undefeated, hey, I'm the man in boxing. But he cannot. He want to be a thug too bad. He want to be a thug too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing about him, man. He wants most of that publicity, but it's more of negative publicity, you know, and not focusing on, you know, being the best fighter in the sport first. That's what Floyd did. He became the best fighter in the sport first. Then he marketed towards getting
the fight. Then he started loud mouthing. Then he started saying, well, name him. Who beat him? It's not boxing is not like football. Football, you can have one great year. The next year, you can be great garbage. Boxing is what Floyd has done. Listen, I'm finna build myself up to this pedestal. Now, once I get, it's up to y'all to stop me from getting to the top. But once I get to the top, mind you, I'm gonna be the master of this craft. And once I master this craft, no matter who you put your money on, I'm betting on me because I know what I'm gonna do. And man, they can talk all the talk they want to talk. That boy went in there and had his business against Pacquiao. And a lot of people just knew Pacquiao was gonna win. They knew it. They knew it. And I don't know how they seen that, but it just didn't happen. It was a lot of people mad behind that fight. It was a lot of people broke behind that fight. But, man, I'm telling you, that's the only thing, like, and they were saying, like, they trying to set up a rematch between him and Pacquiao. But I don't think it'll never happen because Floyd ain't stupid.
Yeah.
And he basically said
that, like, you know, after the fight where he beat Pacquiao, Pacquiao didn't even want to give him credit for the win. So he's like, why even give him a rematch when he couldn't even give me credit for beating him the first time?
And you know, they claim he was injured, he was this, he was that, And like I say, because that's what I hate about rematches, bro. I hate them. Like, I don't feel like, unless you're the champion, I don't feel like a rematch is guaranteed because, like, say I'm the champion, boom. Okay, you fight me. Okay, even pro se back in the days, Bo versus Holyfield. I hated them matches. I mean, the first one, outstanding. Couldn't find a better boxing match. The second one, horrible. The rematch is always horrible. Like, the rematches, you want the underdog to win bad, but the underdog always just, like, get massacred. And if the underdog do win, it's a lucky punch, or it's this, or it's that.
Yeah.
It's some kind of intangible got to play in for the underdog to win. That's why
yeah,
I say, man.
Yeah, that's
y'all got y'all hands full. If y'all watching anybody other than Triple G, Broner, them the next big upcoming things, man. They finna be like real big. Triple G might knock Canelo out. He might knock him out. He might knock.
Oh, see, we got like a good few months for that fight go down too.
Yeah, he might knock him out. I wouldn't be surprised. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Because man, like, it's just certain names when you hear in a weight class, it's scary. And right now, you know what I'm saying, like I told a person all the time, when I seen Floyd beat Dab Judah like that, I say Floyd is the man. I was telling people way back then, I said, Zab Judah had a run in that weight class like no other. I said, boy, if y'all look out for Floyd, Floyd the man now. He the man. When I seen what that boy name is, when I seen Roy beat that boy. I say, Roy the man. When I seen Mike Tyson knock the dude out, I say, oh, he the man. He the man. Even with Klitschko, this new guy, he the man. And it ain't because of how you beat him. It's who you beat. Because if you can stand toe-to-toe with this guy who's ran boxing, he's like, oh, I'm the guy. And you beat him, convincingly, nobody ain't going to be able to get in that ring with you, man. All the bad stuff. The second fight. Matter of fact, come to think about it, that was the second fight between your boy and the Spanish dude. Now the first fight, Pacquiao knocked the dude out. The second fight, Pacquiao made an excuse, so I was out of shape, and he got his ass whipped. He got his butt whipped.
Well, you talking about? Four fights of Marquez. That Marquez,
yeah.
Remember that first fight ended up being a draw, and then the second fight Pacquiao won, and then the third fight they gave that fight to Pacquiao, but people thought Marquez won that third fight, and then the fourth fight was when Marquez knocked him out.
I think the paper read Falling Champ or something. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like I say, like Mayweather said, man, Pacquiao overrated, man. It's easy to look good when you find people who scare you. It's real easy to look good when you find people who scare you.
Or where you're the overwhelming favorite, basically,
All right. I go in here and just like Leonard Spinks did. Oh, I'm gonna let him swing and I'm just gonna fall.
Mike Tyson never touched that dude.
That dude fell straight to the railroad. Man, I can let this dude hit me. Y'all crazy? Pay my money. Let me out of here.
Or be like when Tyson fought Etienne, and then he hit him with like some type of punch, but then by the time Etienne hit the ground, he just grabbed his mouthpiece, took it out, and put it to the side.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
Y'all crazy. That was the thing with Tyson. Tyson had fear in a lot of people he boxed. That was Tyson's thing. And when he got in the ring with a real boxer, Prose Evander Holyfield, which the first fight, I can honestly say, hey, man, I don't think Evander Holyfield should have won that fight. But the second fight when Tyson did his ear off, come on, man.
Yeah.
Man, he's so hard, you bite me up. Come out, he kept kneeing him, and he kept. He said, what he said was he said, Evander Holyfield kept kneeing him, and the referee wasn't catching it.
Or headbutting him. Something like that. So.
Yeah, man. That's bomb.
But, I'm about to, close this episode out here. We're, in the overtime section. Couple of announcements, though. Like I was saying, Adrian Broner is going to be fighting Mikey Garcia, and that's going to be July 29th, and it's going to be at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. You got on the card, you got Jared Herd with his first for super welterweight against Austin Trout, so be on the lookout for that. And he's also going to be Chris Eubank Jr. is going to be moving up in weight to fight Arthur Abraham in a super middleweight division on July 15th for a title there. So those are a couple of fights to be looking out for in the next few months going in here into the 7 months. So it's going to be a little bit busy out there in the boxing ring. And also later on tonight, Brandon Rios is scheduled to fight on Fox Sports 1. So look for him on Fox Sports 1 to fight Aaron Herrera. That's going to be on TV tonight too. So there's going to be boxing on tonight. So y'all be on the lookout for it. Before I close it out, I'm gonna give some last comments. I'm gonna start with Mike Gritty and then get with my cuz on there. So Mike Gritty, you got anything to say?
No, I don't really got anything. All
right, gotcha. Got anything to close out with, cuz?
Man, y'all remember I said this, man. This live on radio. A focus Adrian Broner, the next big thing, man. Mind you what I said, a focus Adrian Broner is the next big.
All right, and on that note, I'll be closing out this episode of the show. Be sure to, you know, catch the next show that's going to be on next Sunday, 7:30. Be on the lookout for that, as we're going to be going over that, the results of Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev over in Vegas. And like I say at the end of every show, point of boxing is to hit and not get hit, not to stand and trade. On that note, I'm out. Have a good evening. Thanks for calling.
Yo.